With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Breathtaking football. Nice. That's what Maryland does.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Are you a big man? Pop, I'm talking to you.
What?
You wake up in the morning, you say, I put on my big boy pants. You put on a little jacket, you go. You take your lunch because you got big boy pants on.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative. This is how you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We want to look to the future. We've got to tear down the past. Babe Ruth was nothing more than a fat old man with little girl legs.
The Fan. I want
it all. All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on this beautiful Tuesday. Oh, my God. Enjoy this. I know a lot of people are like, it's so hot. Just enjoy it. That's what I'm doing.
It's just today and tomorrow, too. You get a little heat wave for 48 hours, and then we're back to normal.
I feel like our show kind of has a theme today of, like, being the old man yelling at everybody for reacting in different things. Can I give you one more, and then we'll get back into this, KD?
Go for it.
So I call my mom. And I'm talking to her before the show, and I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, well, I'm picking my boss up at this airport, and I'm just waiting for him to text. So she's parked, and she's like, it's so hot. And I'm like, are you in your car? And she goes, yeah. And I'm like, why is your conditioner not on? She goes, well, I didn't want to waste gas. And I go, Mom.
That's on you.
We need to stop this thinking that, like, our extra 5 minutes in our cars being on with just the air conditioner blast is the sole reason.
That's why.
How about the 10 to 12 companies doing the actual most damage to our planet versus blaming every little human of, like, you know, that 3 minutes that you left the light on?
That
was the difference.
Your shower lasted 29 seconds too long.
Exactly.
That is why the cows are all going to die.
Exactly. Let's not blame these billion-dollar companies. Let's blame it on everybody else for wanting to be comfortable in their lives.
Hey, shout out to your mom, though. She's willing to take a little pain to make sure the planet can survive slightly longer. That's a bold move. I am too selfish to make a move like that. I like long, hot showers, and I like my air conditioning.
Guess what's on at my house right now while nobody's home except my dog?
Hey, dude, you can't leave a dog in a house without AC on.
Dude, it's set at a crisp 70 degrees.
Oh, I went 67.
Did you? We put it 68, and my whole family was bitching and moaning last night. So
it was
like,
too cold?
That's what they said.
Oh, God, get out of here.
Yeah, I know. All right, we got a lot to get to here in the second hour. We'll get to some football at some point. A lot of storylines in the NFL. We got some college week one lines out there as well. I want to get back into the Kevin Durant stuff. So, I might be different on this. You feel free to sound off on what you think at 55305. While acknowledging that it's a horrific injury that you don't want, there's no athlete I would wish that injury on in any sport ever. Like, that's just terrible. It's terrible for him. You don't know how he's going to recover, what he's going to be like when he comes back from this in probably over a season. But my first thing was I kept seeing people saying, well, you got to imagine he locks the player option in for one more year. And while that might be what he ends up doing.
Could be.
$31.5 million. That's a great amount of money to just not do anything next year and recover with. I have actually found the storyline more interesting in this sense. I'm not sure he should. I really believe Kevin Durant is still going to get a max offer from teams like the Knicks. I think the New York Knicks saw that and went, oh, crap. And they're devastated. But, man, I tell you, as a Blazer fan, if they offered him the max and they had the money,
I'd have no problem with it at all.
100% behind it. Oh, and I'd say, look, taking a chance, they're giving up a year, but you're still going to have Kevin Durant. And maybe he's never that Kevin Durant again, but I'll take a 60% Kevin Durant. Like a 40% less Kevin Durant is still a really damn good Kevin Durant. And you bring him in, you have him in the organization, you give him some say here and there. You build around him for a year, you slowly build him back, and now you've got Kevin Durant for 3 of the 4 years. A lot of people were like, oh, well, here it is. He put it all on, and now he's, you know, almost like he wasn't going to get paid at all. And my thought was, if I'm the Knicks, I still think the Knicks are going to give him the max. It's terrible. It sucks for his playing career, but I still think he's viewed as a franchise guy by teams like the Knicks. That still would be their single biggest free agent acquisition since Amari.
Yeah, because they got Carmelo through the trade.
And so I would even argue it's bigger than Amari because Amari
without a doubt,
was a great player, but he also benefited greatly from having Nash.
Yeah, he's not on that level. I do think it's going to change his game plan this offseason. Look, I don't know Kevin Durant, obvious statement.
I'll tell you one reason why I don't think that, but I'll let you finish.
Yeah, if I'm in Kevin Durant's shoes right now and I go through that, I realize that best case scenario, I'm back for the finals next year if you get there, or late in the playoffs, right? If it's the kind of injury that we all expect, and once we find out the MRI results, we'll know for sure. I would just think to myself, one, where do I want to be to rehab? Where am I most comfortable? Because if you just opt in for one more year, you don't play basically all season, he can make $31 million, and then he can go get the max contract again next summer, very similar to what he would do this summer. That's the only reason. I just think it would be weird to sign that deal and then go rehab and be in a new city, a new medical staff, and go through all that next year, where Golden State already knows all of your information. Again, I'm just spitballing here, but
I think everybody's spitballing on this stuff.
But
right now,
if I were Kevin Durant, that is the move that I would make. But this notion that he lost hundreds of millions of dollars last night is just laughable, because there are going to be multiple teams from the Knicks on down that will line up at the door for a chance to sign him this summer, whether it's a year-long injury or not.
So this is why I disagree. Now, again, I want to state, I still think he could ultimately do that, lock in the one-player option, rehab next year, and stay in the Bay. Very, very feasible. However, I'll give you a couple alternatives. We don't know where he wants to rehab. Guess where he went today? He flew to New York.
Did he really?
You know why? Because some of the best doctors in the entire planet are based in New York. Where did his business move? New York City. What did he just endure? Fair or not, blame this guy, blame that guy. To my knowledge, Golden State has like a new medical staff, or their team is different this year. Kevon Looney, he went down yesterday, right? He says he's going to play, but, God, he looked in pain. And they were like, well, can't injure it anymore. It's just going to hurt a lot. I don't know. As a medical staff, do you say that to a guy, or do you say, I would advise you not to play versus continuing to be in agony? The Kevin Durant thing is very interesting. Doris Burke came out and said there's no minutes restriction yesterday. I was at my house going, what?
Yeah, that was weird. That was really weird.
Steve Kerr said, I believe the day before or the day of, to his knowledge, the medical staff told him there was no way he could further injure himself in that vicinity of his leg. And what happened? Pop. Right? I'm going to believe them because they're doctors. They are certified. And I think there would be people texting and calling us idiots if I said otherwise.
But you didn't want to be a Twitter doctor last night?
Well, I think everybody kind of does that naturally, right? But my thing is, there are people speculating, not me, people speculating, did they really diagnose this honestly? Were they really honest with what that injury really was? That's for somebody else to find out on a story. But I'm just saying his trust might be gone within that medical staff. He probably got their opinion and also gave his two cents of what to do of, you know what, I can save this. I come back, it's a different series, which I think we probably, if he's healthy, I think we're saying that today.
I mean, you saw just the difference he can make in one quarter, right?
Huge. And I could see him going. Also, if he takes the 1 year, 31 and a half, and then he comes back in 2021, what if he is not close to being Kevin Durant again? He took 31, and he may never give that max contract offer again. So I think if you get a max from New York, you already kind of wanted to go there. You already are kind of rehabbing
there.
It's
tough to turn that down.
Take the max deal while you can. Rehab for a season, and then get full control within the organization for one season. That's why I still think that's on the table for him.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that at all. He's still going to get those offers, and if he wanted to go to New York all along, there's nothing I don't think that'll change his mind initially right now, even though the injury does throw an interesting scenario out there for the upcoming offseason. It's just like people texting in, like if you were watching Stephen A. Smith this morning, you would have thought he died. And that was the only funny part.
Yeah, I mean, look, I get it. It's sad, but
that was the only funny part about the reaction to it last night and then again this morning. But on the reporting of the injury, too, and them saying, all the different things publicly, I think it's also important to know, like, what is said publicly by Golden State and what is said privately by Golden State are two completely different things.
It sure seems that way, doesn't
right?
it?
Like,
especially
like,
after Kerr came out and was like, right. we were playing this by a month. Dude, you've been coming out after
saying,
every
we'll
practice.
Check, yeah.
Well, we'll see if he can go today, and then if he looks good, game two.
Right.
Well, we'll see if he can go, and if he game three. It's like, bro, you know in the back of your mind, and I know they feel guilty. That's why I think they were so emotional last night. They felt guilty. You know the timeline is much different than what you're portraying publicly. I'm with you on the blame stuff, but there is a portion of blame that deserves to be on Golden State today. They handled this poorly. They let narratives get out. You know, some things you can't control. They let narratives get out. This whole Warriors are better off without him. The Steve Kerr, well, we'll see if he can give it a go. When you know in your mind it's a different timeline,
right.
you handled things very poorly. And that's very unusual for an organization like Golden State that's had this great reputation during
yeah,
this
Yeah, and that was the weird part. Because, you know, I brought that up last segment. People were saying, well, the difference is if Golden State handles the injury, game planning for Kevin Durant is a big deal, and it changes the way teams go into matchups. Like, I understand all of that, but my main thing is kind of highlighting what you just mentioned, and that is when you come out and you say initially, like, it blew me away yesterday them saying he's playing in his first game for 32 days. Like, wait a minute, it's been 32 days since game four of the
second
round.
I saw your tweet,
like,
it's too long.
Sweet Jesus, man, that was a month ago. And then it sunk into me, too, that the Blazers game one against OKC was the premiere day of the final season of Game of Thrones and the Masters.
It was Tiger's Masters
like, that's
day,
like,
yeah.
what the hell? This has been going on for
April.
3 months. Are you kidding me? But when you come out initially and report that, we'll check in a week, we'll check in a couple of days, maybe he's shooting around tomorrow, maybe not, we'll see how it goes next week. It's just this constant ongoing thing. I think you can do a lot of damage in letting the narrative unravel on you. And granted, I didn't see any of those takes on social media, thankfully, because I don't follow and watch the hot take stuff where people were saying he's a candy ass for not playing or he's thinking about himself
so
for not playing.
Like, that's out there.
I didn't follow any of that, and thank God. And if you do, you should check the way that you consume sports media. But you do allow narratives to get out of control when you're not honest and upfront publicly with what the injury is. And I think the reaction to it is drastically different. If we just simply knew when he went down against Houston, hey, we'll check him in a month. Maybe in a month he'll be back. We're hoping best case scenario. I don't think it's this ongoing narrative and this ongoing talking point. It's, wow, look at that. He was ready to go. He gets hurt again. I don't think there's the same level of backlash as there was last night.
I also think it's pretty selfish of them as an organization to think that way, right? Like, well, if we say it this way, it's going to throw our competitors off. Like, Portland knew he wasn't coming back, right? Like, I never thought he was coming back against Portland. And then Toronto, like, you want to play this let's have an advantage deal. Is it? Like, if I'm Toronto, I'm like, well, he might come back today, guys, so be ready for that. We're still going to play our brand of basketball,
they're
right?
They're really good with him, and they're really good without him.
Exactly. So it's kind of selfish of them as an organization to sit there and go, well, let's play it this way so we can leave them on their toes. Like, calm down. That's not the direction you want to handle it. And there's something else about this. This just transpired in sports, and it's weird how we're reacting to this. This just happened, and we're totally forgetting about it. And I'll tell you what it is and who it is. Next on The Fan.
We're Mud Flaps.
All right, welcome back in. 118 on The Fan. We're having a good show. I'm enjoying this conversation. I find a lot of these things very interesting. I just had another tweet on my timeline. It was like, any media member that questioned Kevin Durant's heart should be suspended. I'm like, who are these people? He was injured. Like, I might not want his team to win a title, but holy crap,
right.
Dude, I don't hate these human beings. It's unreal.
Right, I'll always question the move to join a team
yes.
that beat you and then
yes.
join a 73-win team and to, you know, shake up the balance of the NBA. But I'd never question the player that he was,
no.
the competitor. Like that kind of stuff is a tad extreme. And we'll see. I mean, I doubt it changes much within this offseason, but time will tell with that.
I've also seen the opinion, and this is kind of what I was teasing here on the other side, and then we're going to get some football stuff. We got a lot more to get to today, but obviously the finals were very interesting yesterday. I keep seeing, like, the blame just the Warriors. Like, Kevin Durant should be free of this. Now, look, Kevin Durant made a team decision, and he said, my team needs me. I'm a great player. I can make a difference.
Yeah.
He's right for the most part, and I admire it as all hell. Even though he might have changed the trajectory of his career and who he will be, I commend it. I thought it was a really ballsy play by him to
it
do
was,
that,
yeah.
right? And I got a lot of respect for him. I didn't like that move, but whatever. That's a separate dumb thing That's tiny. I respect him as a player in person.
Yeah, it's a ballsy move to go out there and with how you're feeling and to give it a go with your season on the line.
But, man, we just saw a player go through this, and the player went against everything. He didn't care about the media narrative. He didn't care that a fan base despised him. He did not care and bow down to opinion. And that man is playing in the finals, and his name is Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
He just went through this with the San Antonio Spurs. And I actually find this very, very comparable. We're considering the Golden State Warriors the class of the NBA right now. They are a great organization. Bob Myers, you heard the audio earlier, very emotional, cares deeply. Everybody that comes out of that team says, man, we care about each other. It's bigger than basketball. That's awesome. You know who also had a very similar reputation? And still does. Spurs. And Kawhi Leonard went through this hamstring problem with the Spurs for a year. The song and dance of he can play. Kawhi saying he don't want
right.
to play.
Is he soft? He's getting he be out there.
Right, he's getting a second opinion. He never once bowed down to the public pressure from fan or media alike to put himself out there and play. He said, you know what? I'm not playing. I don't like the way you guys are handling this narrative. I don't trust the opinions. I'm getting second and third opinions. And he never played. He said, trade me. And while I commend Kevin Durant, he's also an adult. And he might have got an opinion out there from one of those doctors. Like, look, you can play. There's a small risk. You know, whatever the opinion was, Kevin Durant is an adult. And if you don't want to do something, there is still a small onus that you have to put on the adult. And this is the age of player empowerment, man. There's a Players Tribune website where you can write an article. This is my next journey. This is why I feel this way. And all the power to you. He came together as a collaborative, as you mentioned, group effort and said, these are the risks. This is free agency looming, but my team needs me. I'm putting it out there. Let's go play. Let's go win one more chip, and then we'll see what happens this summer. Kawhi Leonard went through something similar. He said, you guys can F off. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care. I'm not putting more risk on my body. Kevin Durant said, I will. And while I still think Golden State, from some portions of it, handled it poorly, Kevin Durant chose to do that last night, man.
Yeah, nobody can force somebody to play.
This is the age of player empowerment. Him and his agent, Rich Kleiman, decided, you know what, we're giving it a go. We're going to go suit up and play.
Yeah, the only thing that's different from the scenarios is it being the NBA Finals. Like, I don't think Kevin Durant, if he suffers that injury in whatever game of the regular season, he's not coming back until he's 100% healthy. Like, there's no onus to bring him back in that moment. So it does change it slightly just in terms of the pressure to get back. But this is why I never liked criticizing Kawhi Leonard, and a lot of people did throughout the course of last year. Like, one, he didn't feel right. And as an athlete, you have to make sure that in your mind and in your body, you feel ready to go. Because if you don't, you're not going to go out there with the same level of confidence. You might be putting more pressure on other parts of your bodies than others. Therefore, you end up injuring something else, which might have been the case with Kevin Durant last night. And I jokingly sent out a tweet, too, which was hilarious. Like, it's amazing how fast opinions can change of people, because you rewind 365 days ago. One of the big stories we knew going into the offseason was Kawhi Leonard. He wanted out of San Antonio. That relationship was beyond repair, and he was going to demand a trade. There were legitimately national media members, local fans, all sorts of people. I even had one jokingly tweet me last night saying, yeah, guilty. I was one of them. That were arguing trading for him was not worth it. He's mentally weak.
Yeah.
He is too soft.
He's not as good as you think.
He's not as good. He's a product of the system. Yeah. We don't even know how healthy he is. Why would you want somebody who quit on their team? Well, look, we don't know if Toronto's going to win this thing or not. They still need one more win, but so far it's worked out pretty damn good, I would argue, in trading for him. So it's funny that you can build up this notion, and credit to Kawhi Leonard for muting it all out. Like, he didn't like the way his injury was handled. There's rumored reports that they asked him to take a cheap deal so they could build other guys around him, and he thought it was a bit of a slap in the face. He thought they misdiagnosed his injury. They forced him back out there before he was ready. He never felt good, and he just didn't like the situation and the climate around him. And he said, you know what? I need a fresh start. I want out. He stuck to his guns. He didn't cave to any level of pressure, no matter how loud it got. And it was drastically louder for Kawhi Leonard last year than it was for Kevin Durant throughout the course of this playoff run. He never bowed down, and it worked out for him, and maybe that's a lesson that athletes need to learn hard way.
I mean, look, he took a gamble, and it was the wrong gamble. It sucks. You don't want to see that happen. But Kevin Durant and his team are smart. They said, we've got a lot looming this summer. We're down 3-1. You can come back and play. You're risking it a little bit. Or you can just sit out and be like, look, I don't feel 100%. I don't think he was close to 80%. I mean, I know he came out there firing and dunking in the pregame. He had a possession I thought was very telling. He was dribbling up the court, and Siakam was guarding him, and he actually dribbled off his leg, and they called a foul on Siakam. I thought that in that moment I go, he doesn't look right, man. He doesn't dribble and look like that when he's healthy. And then I think two or three plays later, it was the surge play where he drove in, the Achilles popped, and we'll still await word on that. So, again, I'm not blaming him. I'm not even going at him. I just – to not say he's responsible whatsoever, you can miss me with that. He is a grown-up. We choose to do things, and,
And
nobody knows his body better than him. He wanted to be there for his guys, and I commend and salute that. And it just unfortunately went against him. He'll still come back. He'll still be an NBA player. Kawhi just did this, and people killed him for it. He didn't care. He sat out, missed an entire year in his career, and now look what he's doing this year. He's maybe going to lead the Toronto Raptors to their first championship ever, and that's Kawhi Leonard made the right decision.
Yeah, and that's why I haven't liked this narrative that it was media driven. The media backlash was the reason he decided to play, or the Golden State Warriors forced him back into the lineup. I don't agree with either of those. Kevin Durant, look, we all know he's a little sensitive when it comes to social media, and he's had his issues over the years.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the kind of guy, with everything that was on the line, the reason he played last night was because so-and-so, or, you know, Skip Bayless called him soft for not being in the lineup for game four. Like, stop. Yeah. That's not the case. And I do, look, for all the negative things I've said about Kevin Durant over the years and how much I don't really like him and I don't like the decision that he made, I do give him a ton of credit for making that decision last night. It's just unfortunate it didn't work out for him.
Yeah, Jalen Rose, he had said...
Hey, welcome back. Game 132. Dirt and Sprague here, live out of the Beaverton Crunch Fitness, hanging out.
Are we hot? We on?
Are we hot? We're on. We're hot. We're on.
That's the second time, by the way.
Yeah, we are having great takes right there. Just great takes, man.
I was just going to talk about one more final thought and then kick it, and then all of a sudden I don't hear anything.
Hot. That's all I heard.
Swigard pivoted.
Great takes. Hey, we have an update on the David Ortiz situation. We need to talk about that. We have a couple of NFL notes that we need to get to. Also, there's a story out there about the Blazers that is from something that I don't know if there's any credibility behind it whatsoever.
Dude, you're not going to use that, are you?
I'm going to use that.
Damn it, Dirt. Don't do it.
Your ass, I'm going to use that. We're going to talk about it.
Don't do it.
So you're saying there's a chance. But it is a 1-3. Oh, did we lose? Are we still on, Swag? Hello?
Hi, we're with you.
Hey, okay, all right.
Screen went black. I'm
screen went dark. We're still good. We're hot. We're on. Okay, 1:30 on a Tuesday. Let's get to NFL true or false.
All right, we'll start with the New Orleans Saints, who have reportedly agreed to a 3-year contract extension with Pro Bowl defensive end Cameron Jordan, worth over $52 million. $42 million will be guaranteed. True or false? Jordan will record double-digit sacks for a third straight season in 2019.
Oh, this is 100% true. Cam Jordan is one of the more underrated players in the NFL. I was really happy for him. You don't see a lot of D linemen or defensive players get that kind of guaranteed money. Even the best ones, they have to hold out. They get traded. It's a struggle. So I'm going to say this is true. I love Cam Jordan. I saw him on Good Morning Football the other day, back in his boy Breeze. Happy they got a deal done. I do believe he will get double-digit sacks this year.
Yeah, he's only 29 years old, too, so it's not like he's a guy that's at the end of his career. He's still got a long road to go in the NFL. Happy that he got paid. Dominant defensive lineman, has been for the last handful of years. Captain of the team. Yeah, this is true. I think he gets 10 sacks once again this season.
Yeah, he might even get I think his career high is 13.5. He will. I think he'll approach that, if not surpass it here in the coming season. As the signings continue, the Vikings are reportedly agreeing to a 4-year, $36 million contract extension with tight end Kyle Rudolph. True or false, Rudolph will lead the Vikings in TD catches in 2019.
Oh, it's 1,000% false. Do they still have Adam Thielen? Do they still have Stephon Diggs? I'm going to say that he's a great player. I really like him. I know the Patriots were kind of sniffing around to try to trade him and make him the next Gronk. But with this deal, it kind of feels like, at least for now, the Vikings don't want to give him up. He's great. He's good. I think Kirkers is going to find more targets in the end zone with somebody else other than Kyle Rudolph.
Last year, Thielen and Diggs both had 9. Kyle Rudolph had 4. Both Diggs and Thielen went over 1,000 yards, too. Helps to have a dominant quarterback like Kirk Cousins.
Lead you to the playoffs.
Yeah, but this is false. This is false. Kyle Rudolph is an underrated tight end. I don't know if he gets the respect he deserves across the National Football League, but having the weapons they have on the outside, also Dalvin Cook, still being a big aspect of the running game in the red zone as well. This is false.
Did we, Swagger, if we answer for yourself, did we see the details on the per year here? I thought Florio Uriel on earlier on Pro Football Talk had said the way they released this, kind of a little murky on the details of what he's getting per year on this.
I just saw total four-year, $36 million extension, so I didn't see how it was broken down, if there was a big signing bonus or something like that. But I think the gap will be closer between Rudolph and the other receivers, but no, I don't think he'll end up leading the team. Okay. They do like when they get down close to go to him in goal line situations, assuming he can, all of his injury issues are now behind him. So we'll move on. Tickets for the Packers-Raider preseason game in Winnipeg, not cheap. Yeah. Least expensive seats reportedly going for $112 a ticket. True or false? The NFL will have every team play a neutral site preseason game each season when the next collective bargaining agreement gets signed.
Now, this is false, but it should be true. Because, look, I can't stand the London games. They're dumb. Look, eventually maybe there's a franchise over there. I think that's ridiculous.
Please, God, no.
Nobody wants that. It's stupid, all right? The NFL's fine in America. You shouldn't go play your games in the regular season over there and force teams to fly halfway across the world to go play a regular season game. But this is a great idea, I think, just to grow the brand for preseason games. They mean nothing. Fans usually in the vast majority of markets don't want to go anyways, right? I mean, that third or fourth preseason game, you throw these around to different stadiums across the country and you allow non-NFL markets to experience what the NFL has to offer. I think it would be really cool. It would be great to build fan bases in different communities across the country or even in Canada like they're doing with this one. It should be true, but it is false.
I think this is 100% true. I disagree with you, Andy Johnson. I think the NFL, you know, as successful as they've been, the number one sports brand in the world, well, obviously minus soccer, but America. I think the one thing they've noticed about the NBA, they just had great ratings for Game 5 in America, some of the highest ever. They also were still not counting Canadian ratings, so they're really hitting right now on the international level better than almost any sport minus soccer. And I think the NFL is a little envious of that. I think that's why you're seeing so much more international conversations going on. I do declare, that in the next CBA, there's going to be some language that they do preseason games in Mexico and in different cities, and in Canada, you know, maybe getting a little crazy in other countries as well. I think they want to try to expand the sport and be a little more global and try to jump on the wave like the NBA is.
Yeah, I think this is going to be true. I don't know how much Goodell's going to get reduced in the preseason. If he can knock one game off, get it down to three, each team has one home game, one on the road, and then they do a neutral site third game, NFL owners aren't going to give away the they don't want to give away the extra revenue. So if they can get full price stuff in cities that don't normally see the NFL, I think that's a good compromise for them to at least get a few more bucks out of the deal. Finally, more injury concerns for Colts quarterback Andrew Luck. He is being held out of minicamp due to a calf strain. True or false, Luck will not play a down of preseason football in 2019.
This is false. I get this, but this is false. This is really false. He's going to play.
I think the preseason doesn't start tomorrow.
I think we got a few more weeks before that happens. He's going to play. They're being cautious, and I get that. That's a smart move given what happened with the shoulder. But I think he's going to play. He's played pretty damn well. Be right there in the MVP conversation and have the Colts right back in a division title conversation and maybe even AFC contender.
Yeah, I think this is false as well, although if you would have given me like an over-under number of pass attempts or games or snaps, that kind of thing, I would probably take the under. I don't think he's going to play a ton. He is that team. Without him, we've seen how bad. Look, I know they're improved slightly around him from where they were a couple of years ago, but he is that franchise, and they're going to be really cautious with him in the preseason. But he will play at least some in the preseason.
I think he'll play some. I think he's only going to play maybe week three. I think just one game. They're going to put him in bubble wrap, I have a feeling, when it gets to that. They do not want to risk him any more than they absolutely have to. He'll have to play some, obviously, but it will be very, very minimal in the preseason in 2019. So there you go.
So you said preseason, right?
Yes, preseason.
Okay, I misheard. I thought you said season. I'm like, whoa, crap.
Oh, no, preseason.
No, preseason.
Yeah, okay,
no.
Whatever the opposite of my answer is,
yeah.
I choose that because if I'm them, I don't play him down in the preseason. I don't care about the preseason.
I know.
He's going to be at camp. He's going to be fine. He doesn't need to go against some bums. He knows what he's doing. He's Andrew friggin' Luck.
Could you imagine if there was an NFL preseason game in Portland?
Oh, I would crap my pants in excitement.
Play it at Providence Park?
Play it at Hillsborough Stadium, man.
Well, you
played in Eugene, played in Corvallis. I don't care where you play.
I can see him playing one at Autzen. I don't know if they can or not, but even that, could you see him playing one, having like the Chiefs and the Broncos play at Memorial Field there at Nebraska?
Yeah, that would be
awesome.
That
would be really cool, yeah.
Right? I mean, you got fans in the area. Like, Seahawks probably have the most fans in this area, so you bring the Seahawks down for a preseason game, that would be kick-ass.
The Tigers, I just saw this on Twitter from the baseball account at Oregon State. Matt Boyd pitched a game in Omaha when the Tigers played, I think, the Royals or something in Omaha at the TD Ameritrade.
Why did they play in Omaha?
I don't know. I think it was like a one-off thing that they just randomly did. He threw a one-out shutout.
I know their AAA team. I don't know if it still is, but their AAA team used to be in Omaha.
No, they're doing that. So they did the Williamsport deal. Major League Base, you know how they have that the one Major League game at Williamsport when the Little League World Series is there?
Yeah.
They're doing that now before the College World Series starts. There's something going on there, and they're going to play a single the Royals are going to play some single major game.
Matt Boyd's pitching that game again.
Yeah. Like,
the last time he was there was when he was a Beaver.
Yeah, it's cool.
And so I saw that, and I was like, dude, I know it's a lot more games in baseball, and they'll never do this for the NFL, but that's super cool, and I really don't care what city it's in. Get us a game within a two-hour radius of Portland. I probably would go to it.
Yeah, and like, we don't get to experience the NFL very much down here. When we get to go up to that Seattle show, it is so much fun.
Kick-ass.
Like, just hanging out around camp and seeing the NFL players and what their practices is like. Like, that is one of the more enjoyable experiences we get every year. We can't wait to do it again this August. So.
I never, as much as I enjoy it, I still think in my head, like, as a show collectively, yeah, you know, this is cool, but if we were ever up here doing a show, I would never be the show that's like, well, we're live at camp. Let's talk about the backup offensive line depth coming up next. I just think that crap is so boring.
What's the left guard position look like for the preseason?
Be more interested in which kid didn't get an autograph.
Yeah.
You know, what player is not high-fiving his teammate. That kind of crap.
There you go. Hey, a couple of things to get to. I have a Blazer note for the top of the hour, so don't go anywhere for that. We have big non-maybe news, Blazer news.
No, we put no stock in this is what I would tell you right now.
Yeah, Bummer Brandon. We're going to get to that coming up at 2 o'clock.
You never heard of this guy until yesterday.
I'm going to get to two things, though. First, one is I have a question about soccer that I want to ask.
They're winning by a lot. It's 11-0.
11-0. It's been a clinic.
Okay, so we need to talk about
Thailand, not very good at soccer.
Thailand did not show up today. Really disappointed in Thailand's effort. So we're going to get to that coming up next. Also, we have an update on David Ortiz and the rumors swirling around what in the world happened to him. So that is next Crunch Time on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's Crunch Time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. I did not make it to Glorious House of Gains
today. That's not true.
But I'm at the Glorious House of Gains right now.
Let's go! Nice job!
Thank you.
We are live out at the Beaverton Crunch Fitness hanging out. Stop by and say hello.
I'm drinking a Bang drink, which is potent brain and body fuel, and it's a super creatine at the top. Let me just say.
Can you add an ED to the end of that and say it over the air?
A what? Oh, Bang. Yeah, this drink, I also love the zero calories per can.
Zero calories.
Doing pub for a company that does not pay me. So let me just,
They have these at Crunch, and Sprague is like jacked up on Mountain Dew right now.
Well, I'm a pre-workout guy, and I don't always take a pre-workout drink, but on the occasions I do, I find my workouts, I'm so much more focused, I'm locked in, and I just want to do reps when my body's like, stop. Turns out when you drink these and you're not working out, you kind of start getting really amped. Like,
I can't stop saying, bro.
I'm ready to go run on the treadmill.
I feel like I'm giving my opinions in a more serious, like,
very,
this is how it is.
Very aggressive today. We should go grab a couple of plates and just, like, hold them over our head during a segment.
Let's just do these monkey bars to our left here.
Couple of things. First, before we get to the sports topics, I do want to give you a kudos shout-out right now because you just pulled the George Costanza. Oh. So our engineer is out here. Nick, he's hanging out doing the show. He sets all the equipment up, and he makes sure that everything runs smoothly, right?
Well, and Nick is fairly kind of new. Like, we've been doing this, what, 4 or 5 months now? 6 months? Has it been a year? Okay, about 7 or 8 months.
Yeah, he's a Duck game day guy, you know? So, yeah, he cut his teeth down in Eugene.
But he's still learning everything. I see him going with Rick all the time. Nick is a very cool, calm, collected guy.
That he is, yeah.
And so when the S's hit the fan a couple of times, he's not like, oh, my God.
No, he's very calm, under control. He gets everything settled.
But you know deep down internally, he's like, holy crap, I'm going to hear about this today. I can't believe this is happening to me.
Somebody's going to yell at me.
And I'm just like, dude, it's okay. This is life.
Right.
It's going to happen. Sometimes it's out of your control.
But you pulled. So for the Seinfeld fans out there, there was an episode in which George is at a store, and I can't remember the
chair
story.
Chair store.
No, it's not
furniture.
A chair store. Furniture. No, I think it's a clothing store.
Yes. Yeah,
but there's
right.
a security guard by the front door who's standing, and George is there. He gets dragged to it by his fiance, and he goes over to the security guard, and he says, man, like, you got to stand up all day. That sucks. Like, don't you want to sit down? And the security guard kind of fights back, like, no, it's my job, I'm standing up, I'm okay.
Don't you get tired from standing
up? He's like, no, like, if I give you a chair, you're going to sit down, though, right? And eventually he does, and then he falls asleep, and then the store gets robbed.
Like, he says, I suppose I would in that situation.
I suppose I would sit down. And you just pulled that with Nick. Nick was standing up the whole show, and you turned to him, you said, dude, don't you kind of want to sit down? And now he refused at first. He said, no, I'm okay, I'll stand. He said, no, dude, you need to sit down. You got him a chair. So let's hope he doesn't fall asleep, and then we get dropped, and then it's a whole thing.
But you know what? We'll wake him up. It's going to be okay. And I'm glad Nick finally got a chair, and he deserved a chair. He's been working hard.
He did. He needs a chair.
He worked his way up. He used to do promotions, which, if you don't know anything about radio, promotions is not the easiest job.
I would not want to do promotions.
You make next to no money. You get absolutely crapped on and blamed for everything bad that transpires.
All sorts of wild events you got to go to.
And I had done a couple events with Nick. He was really nice. I didn't know his name. We had met twice, and for some reason, his name went stick in my head, even though my little brother's name is Nick. And when he became an engineer, I was like, dude.
Good for him.
Good for Nick, getting a promotion and working his way up. Scatterbrain theory here on Bang the Drink. Let me throw out one more, and then you can do whatever you want to do here. They missed an opportunity. Bang is a good drink. I prefer the sour head that I'm drinking right now.
Yeah, I got the grape one.
How do you not have Mike Breen's face inside your Big B logo?
Bang!
The guy,
Bang!
When you hear that,
yeah.
I mean, he should be on the cover of a Bang can.
I can't stand Van Gundy and Mark Jackson, but I do love me a good Bang.
What player, I said this the other day, I don't know if you saw this tweet. I have never thought more of a player's face and name when Mike Breen says, bang.
Like, what's the name you think of?
I think of Danny Green. Of all the names ever that he's done a bang to.
Danny Green's not bad.
He fits it. It's the way he shoots the ball. Every time he shoots, I think it's going net. He had those finals games a few years back.
Ray Allen's another one for me. Big shots that he hit not only Miami but also Boston.
Have you also noticed that Breen give certain guys more of the bang treatment versus no bang treatment?
You got to be a star to get the primo level of bang. I do. I drop that on the golf course whenever a big putt goes in. I drop a bang.
When I play at the parks in the summertime with some of my friends, I will hit a shot. And when it goes in, I'm not kidding, I will go bang. Because it's just such a fun thing to do. It's one of more enjoyable sports calls that have ever been created by somebody. It's so simplistic. He's used it for years now.
Bang!
But I just, when your team does it, and that was the one thing I missed with the Western Conference Finals, was watching at home and getting a Dame or CJ three and getting that bang from Mike Breen.
Unfortunately, he doesn't drop a lot of them in the first half, and that's when the Blazers had most of their success. So we missed out on a lot of bang opportunities. Let's get to this. So we're jacked up on bang. We're having a good time live out of Crunch. I have a question. So the U.S. Women's World Cup team is underway.
13-0. They've scored 2 goals since the segment started.
Okay, so that we're going to get to that in a moment. But Alex Morgan, I don't know if she's added to it, but she, as of a moment ago, she has 5 goals now. She initially, when we were going to talk about this, it was 10-0, and she had 4 goals. What do you call that?
Yeah, because I forgot that I was thinking of three, and I was thinking of hockey, and then I went Guillermo, Jimmy Kimmel was like, is that a threesome? No, it's not a threesome. That's no. a different thing.
It would be a hat trick. Hat trick is three.
Hat trick is three. So then I asked you, what do they call four? You didn't know, and now she has five. So what do they call four? What do they call five goal performances?
5-5-3-0-5. We need to get to the bottom of this because I don't know the answer to this, and I'm genuinely curious. What do they call a four-goal performance or a five-goal performance? I know in baseball, if you strike out four times, they call it a golden sombrero.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
So that, I mean, I know that phrase, but Purple. That's like a negative. That's a negative sports reference, not a positive one.
Let's see. What are? I want to see if I can find it.
Okay,
there's
well,
one
if anybody
out there.
Can find this, or send it in if you know, like if you have something that it's called. But we've been wondering that. So the U.S. women's team, the Women's World Cup's underway. They're up 13-0 now.
Yes, it just ended 13-0.
By the way, was the line really 7.5?
I saw five,
favorites?
According to the Action Network. That's a lot.
We learned today that Thailand is not good at soccer. They had a rough start to the Women's World Cup.
They've got good food, though.
I saw it, and this was a couple of goals ago,
that the
women's team had scored more goals today against Thailand than the U.S. men scored in the 2010 and 2014 World Cup.
The men just got embarrassed by somebody the other day.
So I just wanted
Venezuela, a 3-0 loss in a friendly.
Can we just pack it up
now,
as the men?
Why? Now, and this is a question for Soccer Bro out there. So, Swigart, I know you're going to jump in.
Give all the money to the women. They actually win.
Why are we so much – why is our women's team so much better than our men's team?
It's developmental stuff, I think.
But we develop men's – like, everybody
No, we
plays,
don't. We get more guys –
How do we not –
Because our
develop-
bad athletes play other sports.
Yes.
They play basketball. They play football. They play baseball. Like, I got no disrespect to Soccer Bro out there. I know you love it. I enjoy going to games. But our best athletes don't play those sports. It would be drastically different, in my opinion, if you got a kid who probably was going to play football, ended up at like 8 starting to play soccer, get him in there, and we don't get these little Freddie Adus anymore. We're getting the Tyreek Hills. We're getting the Richard Shermans of the world. We're getting the Steve Nash, you know, whatever type athletes going from other sports into soccer. I think we would be much better.
Fundamentally, that's the bulk of it. So, well done, Sprague.
I knew the answer to
you
that
nailed
question.
That one. Look at that. You nailed it.
Can I get a show ding, Swagger?
And then,
I think it's the bang.
You can get a ding. I don't have a bang.
It's the bang.
We need a bang drop. Why don't we not have a brain bang
that's
drop?
That's a good point.
Yeah,
we should.
Yeah, go ahead, Swagger.
And then the other thing is there's a lot of countries in the world where, you know, women's sports is not funded at all, you know, where the culture
that's
is
true,
such
yeah.
that, you know, that – women aren't allowed the same equalities as men are, so that's part of it as well. But
yeah, we have people texting that in too. It's just wild to me, like that we're so much more dominant in women's soccer than we are in men's. And I've had a lot
that's
of people.
A good point about being subsidized in other countries.
Sure, like other countries don't pay for it and develop it and stuff. And I've had a lot of people tell me, like soccer bros that I talk to around the way. Tell me that this Women's World Cup is going to be really good. Like, there's a bunch of different teams. It's not just a U.S. dominant thing. There's, like, five or six really good teams that have a legitimate chance.
You know, the dream for me one day, I may not follow most of it. The dream for me one day, though, is to take I want to take my two daughters to a U.S. Women's World Cup game with, like, a lot on the line somewhere.
Well, we have the Men's World Cup coming in six years?
I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to pretend to care unless USA is good.
You wouldn't go to, like a – Venezuela versus Canada game?
I'll be honest with you. The women do it for me. Like, they are great at what they do. And sure, I know, I get other countries don't allow women to do a lot of things that we do, but they're just more entertaining to me. I love the fiery passion that they play with. They execute really well. And until we get our crap together, I'd much rather go see the women play than the men's team. The men's team is always a drastic disappointment. And I'm getting kind of tired of it. So while I support the men and I hope they can turn it around, I kind of want to go to more of a Women's World Cup game than I do the men's.
Well, the U.S. Women's World Cup run started today, and they beat Thailand 13-0. They covered the spread.
Suck on that one, Thailand.
I mean, that's wild stuff. 13-0. Here is our goal answer. Now, we had some people say, we asked, what do you call a four-goal thing? We had this texted in, a four-bagger.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that applies.
That's not bad.
Goal-tacular. Which somebody said was from Halo, apparently, a goal-tacular.
Why does Halo have terms for scoring four goals?
I don't know.
I've never played Halo. Do they
Neither
score goals in Halo?
Neither have I. And then somebody said, they said two is brace. 3 is Hattrick.
Okay.
4 is Hall. 5 is Glut.
Whoa.
6 is double Hattrick. Mm-hmm. 7 is a Hall trick.
You know, I'm going to go by those definitions and say, and this may be the bang talking, that listener sounds like they're really smart and they know what they're talking about. So
right.
I am going to now officially trust that those are the real definitions.
I trust that too. So there you go. We got to the bottom of that. U.S. Women's World Cup is they won 13-0 in their first game.
And that's, you know, that's another good point. I didn't address this because our show has been pretty packed with a lot of, you know, basketball, obviously, and football. That was the one thing that bothered me at the Timbers game. I had a great time. Uh-huh. Everybody's great. Everybody's enjoying it. I could not stand the amount of flopping from either team. It pissed me off. Just get up and play the GD game.
Yeah, flopping
Stop
in every
sport flopping
sucks.
And waiting for one ref, who, by the way, is running around by himself to see everything that transpires and hoping you get a stoppage. Just stop. The women don't flop like that, and I love that about it.
Yeah, amen to that. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month, no hassle, no pressure. No gimmicks and no judgments. We are live out at a Crunch Fitness today in Beaverton.
Do you ever think, do you think Nick's over here secretly like a big sports fan disagreeing with like half the takes in his mind of like, these idiots are so stupid
Who
on this topic?
Who pays these morons to talk about this nonsense?
I can't believe how wrong they are on this soccer issue.
Yeah, you can say that about a lot of issues with us. Hey, lots to get to in the final hour. I have a Blazer note I want to bring you. We will have a update on the poll questions. We have a lot of them around the NBA Finals and what went down last night. Who do you blame? How does the series go from here? That's one thing we haven't really talked about. Like, where does the series go from here? We have, granted, like 6 months off now before Game 6. But when we get to Game 6, it'll be weird emotions for both teams involved. And we have a David Ortiz update. A wild backstory. He's back in the United States. All of that is to come in the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.